Hey, this is Frankie Dunnell of Purposeful Life, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with our favorite host, Jim Madonna. And this is going to sound like the playground of sound, man.
Hey friends, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe. And friends, I truly want to thank you for tuning in to this year's final show. 2015 has been a complete blast, and I can't think of a better way to close the 2015 scene out with my bud, Mr. Frankie Dunnell of Purpose for Life. Frankie, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Good to be here.
Hey, Frankie, man, I got to tell you, brother, this is such an honor for me to have you on the show today, man. This is my last interview for 2015, and I can't think of a better way to close this year out. And, brother, truly, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart, you taking your time and joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, I'm sure. And you know what? I can't believe that I'm here in this century. Giving up my path, it's like, I'm just so happy to be here. Take it for granted.
So, Frankie, you've been around in the music industry for a very long time. Probably, what, would you say 30 years?
Yeah, all of that. That was from 1977-ish, 78.
How did, let's start out with something relatively basic. How did you get into the music industry, and kind of give us a quick version of where you are today?
All right, well, I got in from my parents and my grandparents. All my cousins were musicians. My dad, my mom played, and so all the family gatherings used to be all based around music. And then my cousin and I used to be always jamming together on all the new songs from Cream and Dave Clark Five, Beatles, Stones, whatever, Leonard Skinner, all those bands, Aerosmith, whatever. And that's where it all came from. So it always was in the root, you know. And then where I am now is, I'd say back in like 1977 or so, that's when it was a big turning point in my life. And the music had to take an adjustment. I got saved, might say. And what happened, I thought, I'm going to start writing songs for the Lord. What I did was, I went home and they were saying, like, hey, God doesn't like rock and roll. So I scrambled home and said, I better write a country song. I went home and I started writing my first song then, because I started writing after that. Yeah, I was about 21 years old. And now where I am now is probably close to 325 songs, and I'm out there ready to go global. And we got signed to Shine On Records. So we're excited about that and seeing what we're going to be doing this next coming year. Sure.
So tell me, when did you meet your wife? Now, she is part of Purpose for Life.
Absolutely. She's my harmony. She's my love. Yep. And she's the inspiration of a lot of the songs. A lot of the songs have dual usage, you might say. You could be singing a love song for those people that you are with and those that are around you, but you can also use those as a good example of what God's love is. So, you know, you could actually be singing them about or to him also. I like putting out a dual meaning behind most of my lyrics. But anyway, I was married before her, and then when I met her, it was like in like 91, I believe, 92, something like that. It's like, kill me. But yeah, so we were married like 20 years, and then got divorced. I had a crash and burn lifestyle, and I went down and out, you might say. And now we've remarried, and we're doing our songs together and about ready to go on tour. So it's all a wonderful story, turnaround, you know.
That is an awesome story, my friend. Once you turned your life over to Christ, did you find that music writing and getting your music out to the public became more challenging?
I'm going to give you two stories, and hopefully it'll help. When I was living for what they term the world, living out in the world like a rock star or whatever, back before I was 21, and my life was all anything from Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin, the whole British invasion, the whole, what they call secular music. That was everything I ate, slept, and drank. That was my lifestyle. I was a musician and a singer-songwriter. But what happened is, you get saved. And then all of a sudden, you have to get what you think to be religious or churchy, or try to get some kind of an idea of what God wants you to write. Okay, so you put the music down, you think, or put it on the altar and say, I can't do that kind of stuff I've done. And now you try to start and write something like, what, a hymn? Or some kind of a gospel thing that you've never done. And God's saying, I want your heart, write something to me. So I turned around and started writing songs that way. I mean, whatever I was into, rock and roll or blues or whatever, and I just put, you know, songs and words together that were just an expression of what I was going through. If I was in the blues, or it was like writing the Psalms. So in other words, I wrote my emotions. And if it wasn't for somebody else to hear, it was for at least the Lord to hear. And then when I, what they call backslid or whatever, when you want to go out into the world again and try to bring your gospel, it's not really acceptable out there. A lot of my words were written and my songs were written in an audience that I could play them on any station, anywhere, any club, because the message was in there, but it wasn't preachy or it wasn't like churchy. I've written all kinds of styles and with different messages too. And pretty much you have to know your audience and what their desire is, whether they want to hear it or not. But now, you know, everything I write is based around that. With a, like Shine On Record says, music with a message. And I have to put it in there. Like Jesus spoke in parables. Says it's not for the world to hear. It's for those that the Lord God opens their mind or their heart towards and who he calls in. So he spoke in parables, and my songs, are many of them, are written that way. It's a privilege to be true to who you are. You were asking me a little when we were off the set here for a minute that you know, as a flower child, and I said, yeah, you know, that those were my roots. I mean, my inspiration, my formative years, you might say, who I ran with, the type of people was the hippie and you know, 70s rockers, and you know, so. When you write something, you have to be who you are, you know, or else somebody's going to see there's a phoniness to it, or that you're trying to package something or fabricate it. So if nobody wants it, it's like art. It hangs on the wall, and you interpret it your own way, and the artist really has to put it on the wall anyway, or else they have to just leave it in their studio after it's done, because it's only good for themselves. But once you hang it on the wall, it's up for interpretation. It's up for anybody that wants to buy it, you might say. So hopefully that's what they're doing with my music. You know, they'll hear it, and there's a lot of people that it wouldn't bother, you know. But then it's for those that will, you know. And we have to be true, you know.
Absolutely, man.
I do a jail ministry. We go into these kids that I've done men's prisons, women's prisons, penitentiaries, or whatever, from Maine to Florida. But right now we're in this pocket for about 2 years now, where we're going into DYS, it's a detention center. It is a jail for the youth that are under 18. And so I had a kid 14 years old that are saying, yeah, I'm a dad, man. I got a kid at home with my girlfriend, and I'm in the pen here. And, oh, yeah, you're a real thug. You're a real gangster. You know what I mean? You can't even take care of your kid or your family or anything else. And what's you in here? You're so cool. Where's your friends? You know, and you know, you see them break in front of you. One kid's breaking down crying that his mother had just overdosed. I mean, they're not really as tough as they want to make it out. And then when you go in there and you start talking to them and saying, you know what, there's an alternative. You can be forgiven and be healed and walk out free. Even if you're not out from behind the bars, you can walk out in your heart totally open in front of God, in front of, hold your head up, you know, and it can change your world. Do you want that? And that's what we do. We go in there and we give them an alternative. And this old dude playing rock and roll and blues, and the people that don't even know what you're doing, it's like all they know is, what, hip-hop and, you know, rap and stuff. They're like looking at you like a three heads. But then next thing you know, you see their heart changing and their mind paying attention, and like all of a sudden you're breaking their heart and their attitude and their will. And that's all done through the song. The song's doing the talking. Thank God for music. It's a tool. We have to use it.
I totally agree. You have a song that is... would you say it would be one of your more popular songs? The song I'm referring to is Butterfly.
You know, that's a song that anybody, anywhere from country to just rock and blues, can plug that song in and enjoy it. And as far as it being, it's just a beautiful love song. But there is a truth to there. The nickname Butterfly is my wife's name. And my name has been given to me from is The Breeze. So we put that in there so it wasn't about the Frankie and Wendy show. It was about, you know, anybody could use that song. And the other tagline in there is, love is what love did when love forgot. And after we were divorced and came back together, you think about what Jesus did on the cross. He says, you know what, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And I forgive them and I forget what their sin was. I kind of twisted it a little bit and said, love is God. And he did. Love is what love did when love forgot. And that's what's in the song. So it was a good song of love and redemption and, you know, healing and everything.
Let's let the listeners hear Butterfly with Frankie Denault on Power Rock Podcast. Frankie Denault of Purpose for Life. Frankie, I have to say, you know, that is really, truly just a well-written, well-composed song. That's the song that captivated me the most, however they all did, that we're going to play on this show. Once again, my friend, well done.
Thank you, thank you. I appreciate it. We got pegged as Beatle-esque for sure, and or John Lennon, you know. If I may say a little bit about that, it's kind of funny. I don't know of any student that's ever sat under a professor or anybody that's worked on a job that hasn't learned how the master wanted the job done or came as good, sometimes maybe even better. I think the goal is to have mentors in our life to be a good student or a disciple of them, or to be a good mimic, per se, but yet put yourself into it. And John Lennon was definitely one of my inspirations, definitely one of my mentors in the music field. You know, and the Beatles and stuff like that. So if I get a compliment like that, it sounds like them, I'm going to own it. It's like good company to keep for sure. You know, that was actually spoken to me. We were at, of all places, I used to bring my guitar to different Bible studies or different groups that we'd hang with, and around a party somewhere or around a campfire, and I'd be playing. And when somebody had come out and said that exact thing, I said, I got to write this down. I'm going to use this someday. And it was quite a compliment because they were sitting there with their eyes closed, and as I was singing the song, they were like, dude, your songs are just painting these pictures in my mind, you know? I said, well, that's awesome. You hope that is what every song would do, I believe.
So as a singer-songwriter, you know, you're playing an acoustic guitar. Have you ever had a desire or a dream maybe to play with a full band and play, you know, in front of all kinds of people, kind of that rock star kind of?
Well, I think I'm the way I am out of necessity. It's a matter of economics. You know, if you're a poor guy, you're sitting down in a rocking chair out on the back porch down by the railroad tracks with a slide guitar and three strings on it. That's what you create your music with. You know, I'm not quite there, but I'm just saying that it's been easier to just put out a folk guitar and write a song in the living room or the bedroom or out on the porch or whatever to have a full band. You know, that would be my heart's desire. And then, or even an orchestra, if it'll help create that song to be a better picture. Music is so wonderful and instrumentation is so fabulous. I just love like Magical Mystery Tour and Strawberry Fields and things like that. They were incredible orchestrations, you know.
Well, you know, you just made a statement about, you know, it was a desire, you know, of the heart, from the heart, you know. And Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
Amen. I love it. I love it.
You know?
I mean, we have played in front of thousands of people at times, you know, and I put out electric guitar and stuff like that, or I play the electric folk guitar, you know. But, I mean, every once in a while when I can strap on a Strat, you know, that's my goal, you know.
Frankie, let's talk about another tune here, man. I got a song I want to play, If I Stop Running. Could you give us some history on that song?
Yeah. That song goes back to like 78 or 9. And it's a truth. It's like a diary written. The truth of it is, if you stop fighting and stop running away from God, things can turn around. And so it's a song, it's a prayer, and it's just a truth. You know, it's something I was living at the time.
Let's let the listeners hear. If I Stop Running, with Frankie Denal on Power Rock Podcast.
Where do I turn when I'm in doubt? You're the answer to what my question is about. How can I run from your love?
Welcome back. We are with Frankie the Man. Frankie,
you're awesome.
Thanks, man. Let me ask you this. Throughout your 30-plus years in the industry, do you think that digital media has helped or hurt the industry?
I think it's helped and hurt. Did a little bit of both. I mean, it's helped in so many ways of getting your music out there versatile and so many different arenas, you might say, instead of just going from club to club. Or radio stations are local, you know, so you could only get on a certain, and if you didn't get on mainstream radio, you wouldn't be discovered either. But now with podcasts and internet radio, you can be anywhere. And so that's a big plus. And on the downside of it is you get people sharing music and not buying it anymore. So true artists can be the best in the world and go broke or die trying, you know. So it makes it a struggle. So it's hurt us in that way, I think, you know, making it so available. But at the same time, you need it to be available to gain your audience. What do you think?
Well, honestly, well, okay. I think personally, I think digital media has really hurt a lot of artists today. Of course, like you had stated, you've got to get your music out there. People today, it's unfortunate, but they would rather steal music than purchase music, and that's a real shame because they take that stuff for granted. They don't realize the amount of work that goes into, you know, producing, production, mixing, mastering, so on and so forth. The overhead can be huge at times, and you know, I've seen a lot of good bands crumble to their knees simply because of stolen music. So I think it's hurt the industry there, but there's that flip side, like we had just discussed, you know, the getting, you know, you got to get your music out there somehow.
Yeah, so in all of that said, amen to that, for sure. You know, it's a struggle because I'd rather be in a studio than anywhere else, you know. It's wonderful to be on stage and performing, but you can do a lot more. If you get a lot of songs, I could be locked into that booth for the rest of my life and not probably accomplish everything I'd like to, you know. And like you said, the mastery and the professionalism that goes into a studio is incredible. And what's really hurt the industry is all these homemade studios or the going on the computer in these programs like Cakewalk or, you know, Pro Tools, and everybody becomes their own engineer, they believe, or their own mix. And then the other thing that's really me up and down is the DJs. Sorry to those that really enjoy that. But every time that I hear a DJ playing somebody else's music, as far as I'm concerned, it's stolen it because, you know, realistically, they don't know the blood, sweat, and tears or the long time of trying and the dying that we've had to do with the failures of not being appreciated along the way. And a lot of artists have to die before they get found or they get paid, you know. And that's a sad story in itself. But, I mean, you get a DJ that is up there playing the music, getting paid, and they don't give you dime one for it, you know. And people are saying, well, we don't want the whole band to show up. It's easier to just hire one guy, a DJ, and pay him for the night. So it's a struggle. I don't think that's going to improve too readily either. So yet, maybe I'm not looking in the right direction. I mean, it's great for there's certain parts of different cities and stuff that are really booming, you know, but they're not going to deal with the radio industry. So hopefully there'll be a revolution in the radio industry, you know, and internet radio and stuff like that, they'll start to dominate again. And maybe streaming would start paying better or something, you know? Hearing that, like, these corporate guys say, yeah, streaming's the way to go, and everybody gets a hold of it, and then the artist still again loses again.
Exactly. Let me ask you this, man. When you're not performing and you're not at your day job, what do you enjoy to do as a hobby, man? I mean, you know?
Rock climb, jump out of planes if I could afford it. I'd do rock climbing, you know, because I got all the gear for that. That's fun. But as you get older, that starts to wear on me, too. I used to do hiking mountains, and then, you know, that pounding going back down the mountain with a pack on your back just started really wrecking my back. So those things have changed. I take up new habits. I'll tell you what. I honestly, if it's not doing something for a ministry, which I am thrilled to be involved with, that's what I live for. That's why I'm here, is to do some type of ministry work. And if I'm not doing my music, I'll just take some chill time with my wife or something. I'm not really into all kinds of other activities, you might say. Maybe that's just me, you know. I just enjoy making music or ministering somehow.
Let's get on to another tune here, man. I got here, I really dig this song, man. The name of this one's called If You Died Today. How about some history on that?
The song If You Died Today is just a good moral look at yourself. If you died today, you can have an opinion about what you think of yourself. But if you died today, what are they going to write about you? What's going to be on your tombstone? That's what's going to be the truth. So the story is in that song. It's kind of a good wake-up call.
All right. Well, here it is. If You Died Today with Frankie Dinal on Power Rock Podcast.
Today, what would they say about you? If you died today, what would they put on your tomb? Take a good look in the mirror if you're able to. Does it remind you of all the things you wanted to? If you died today, what would they say about you? If you died today, what would they put on your tomb? Take a good look in the mirror if you're able to. Does it remind you of all the things you wanted to? Or is this all an illusion just filled with lies? And who's pulled the wool over your eyes? Would you like to know? Well, I'll tell you. If you died today, what would they say about you? If you died today, what would they put on your tomb? Take a good look in the mirror if you're able to. And does it remind you of all the things you wanted to? Their shelves, they don't belong to you. Well, I tell you, and all of us here have to use our own voice or give it defense or excuse for our choice. But Jesus is the one we'll be talking to. If you died today, what would they say about you? If you died today, what would they put on your tomb? Good look in the mirror if you're able to. And does it remind you of all the things you wanted to?
Welcome back. We are with Frankie Dinal. Frankie, we're going to have to close this out, my friend. I just want to tell you, man, that this has been an absolute honor and a privilege. My prayer for you is that whatever you put your hands to, that God just opens the windows of opportunity and pours you out a blessing that you cannot contain it. This, again, for me, has just been humbling. I had an awesome time. And once again, I thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hey, by the way, where are you exactly? I know it's on your site, but I know you're in Ohio.
No, I'm in Georgia.
What? Okay. That's even better. I love the South and like Florida, you know, and so you're right on the East Coast. That's awesome.
Yeah, I actually live about 15 minutes from Tennessee and 25 minutes from North Carolina. I live in the Appalachian Mountains.
Awesome. Beautiful. It'll be easier to plan the route.
All right. Well, there it is. An interview with Frankie Denal on Power Rock Podcast. I'm Jim Madonna, and I want to encourage you, my friends, don't wait for the blessing. Be the blessing. Peace.
Take a deep breath. Hold it.